Well, let's turn then to Psalm 46 for our Bible study this evening. Psalm 46. And I'll read the entire psalm for us, and then walk us through this psalm together. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Amen. Well, I trust that for many of you, this particular psalm is it's a familiar psalm. It's a psalm of comfort. It points us, you'll see, to the reality of God in the midst of chaos. If you look at the very first word of the psalm begins, God. And then if you'll look in verse 10, there is a command, be still and know that I am God. And so the direction of the psalm is to take the reader's viewpoint and not to deny the realities that are taking place in the world, but to focus our attention on God himself. Now, as we look at the structure of the psalm, it's fairly clear how the psalm is ordered. It's three sections, verses 1 through 3, and then 4 through 7, and then 8 through 11. And the sections are divided up with the word Selah. So at the end of each section, we have that interjection, Selah. And so from verses 1 through 3, we have the psalmist's statement of confidence. And then in verses 4 through 7, we have the reasons for that confidence. So the psalmist says, we will not fear in verse 2. And then from verses 4 through 7, he starts working through the reasons why we should not be afraid. And then in verses 8 through 11, we have the theme of living with confidence. How do we go forward in this particular situation? So this evening, we're just going to do a very brief study of this psalm, and we'll look at each section in turn. And the theme of the psalm is comfort in times of trouble. Now, as I said, verses 1 through 3 begins with a statement of confidence. And the psalmist is looking around at the world, and there is great upheaval in the world. There's great chaos, there's great confusion, and there is great change. Everything that the psalmist considered most stable, most fixed, is now turned into chaos. And so the imagery that is used there is in verse 2. He talks about the earth giving way and the mountains being thrown or moved into the heart of the sea. And that imagery there is just saying that everything that I thought that was never going to change, everything that I thought was immovable and fixed and stable, all of those things are now in chaos. Now, as soon as we say that, I think you can see the relevancy of this text to our own day and age. The things that we thought were most secure, the things that we thought would never change, those things are being changed even as we meet tonight. Now, the symbol of water in verses 2 and 3 is a fairly common Old Testament symbol. In the Old Testament, water is a symbol for chaos. So if you remember back in Genesis 1, it talks about the Spirit hovering over the waters, hovering over the deep, and then God creates this world, in a sense, out of chaos. The idea and imagery of water is also used for judgment. So you think back to the flood, you think back to the passing of the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea, where God used water to judge people. And water in the Old Testament is something that is unstable. You can't build on it. It's chaos, it's confusion. And yet, nevertheless, as the psalmist looks at all of this happening in his world, he has this statement of confidence: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, we want to move to the second section. So we have this statement of confidence. And now in verses 4 through 7, the psalmist is going to explain why he is so confident in God. In other words, he's going to explain how God is a refuge in times of trouble. It's not enough simply to say, well, God is sovereign, or, well, God's in control. We need to ask the question, how is God in control? What is he doing that keeps us from being filled with fear? Now, there are three aspects to this, three reasons, and if you look in verse 4, he uses the imagery, again, of water, but he compares what's happening in this world not to chaos and confusion, not to an ocean that's waves are going everywhere, but he says, this is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, if we contrast a river with sort of a flood, you can start to think of the fact that a river has well-defined boundaries. A river has a waterbed. A river has a current. It has a direction. It's going somewhere. A river, in the Old Testament times, was very important for crops. And so you know that that's why the nation of Egypt was so powerful many years ago, was because of the Nile River. And the Jordan River made things green in Palestine. And so the idea of a river is something that is under control and something that is bringing benefit to those who live with it. And so what the psalmist is saying is this. He's saying, from the world's perspective, it looks like this is just total chaos and confusion. But actually, all of the events that are taking place have a divine purpose, a divine direction, and all of these seemingly crazy events are actually going to be used to bring blessing and abundance to the city of God. It's saying that God's providence extends over all of creation, but he especially cares about his church. And it's saying that all of these events are like a river that are going to provide what the church needs. So let me just read to you from our confession of faith. This is chapter 5 on divine providence. And this is paragraph 7 in our confession of faith of chapter 5. And it says that the providence of God does in general reach to all creatures. So after a more special manner, it takes care of his church and disposes of all things to the good thereof. And so that's just saying what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying all of these crazy events are like a river that has a designed current, a designed purpose, and a designed direction. Now, the second reason why we ought to not fear in these times is because of verse 5, and that is that the basis of the kingdom of God, the foundation, is not the earth itself, it is God. So God is in the midst of her, in the midst of the kingdom of God, in the midst of the city of God. God is in the midst of his people. She, that is his people, his church, shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And that's something for us to consider, that the church is built on Jesus Christ. The church is not built on the powers and the forces of this world. And so even when Christians look around and everything seems to be melting, the church is still stable because it's not built on political forces. It's not built on the economy. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's built on God himself. So if you think of the image of a ship, if you're standing on the shore and you look out and you see a ship going up and down in the waves, that ship is totally dependent on the ocean. But if you look at a castle built on a rock, you say that castle doesn't care what kind of storm hits the ocean out there, because it's not built on the ocean. It's built on the rock. And the church is not built on the things of this world. It's built on God. Now, in verse 6, we find the third reason why we ought not to fear. And that is because the voice of the Lord is more powerful than any force on earth. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. So the psalmist here is reminding his readers, remember how the world came into being. It came into being by God's voice. It came into being by God's word. And so if everything is shaking, that doesn't change the power of God's word. And so we need to remember that the church, especially, is built on Scripture. The church is built on the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. It's not built on political power. Now, in verses 8 through 11, we have this final section of the psalm. We have the statement of confidence, then the reasons for that confidence. And then in verses 8 through 11, we have living with confidence. And you'll notice in verse 8 that the psalmist says, "Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth." In other words, if you think back to verses 2 and 3, from the worldly perspective, everything is in chaos and confusion. But from the biblical perspective, everything is a work of the Lord. And so it's interesting, even with the coronavirus recently, people talk about the coronavirus as if it's some sort of powerful entity. Oh, well, the coronavirus is shutting down this country, or the coronavirus is shutting down that country. But the psalmist is here saying, everything that happens in our world is a work of the Lord. The Lord is at work in all of these things. He is the one who has brought the nations to their knees, not the coronavirus. It's the Lord who has done this work. And you see in verse 10, the purpose for all of this. God says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And that's something that the scriptures refer to repeatedly, that the goal of history is to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And one of the ways in which God is exalted among the nations is to show the nations of the world how weak they are. And so he humbles them and shows them their powerlessness. And so what we're seeing in our world today is that the powers of science, the powers of economy and government, all of those things are helpless when the Lord decides to act. Now, I'll close this evening with some very brief application. And the first point of application is this, that I'm sure all of us have been listening intently to the news, and we have been filling our minds with the newscasters, and that's certainly acceptable. But we need to fill our minds with the voice of the Lord. What is the Lord saying about all of this? What is the Lord doing? What is he purposing to accomplish in all of this? What are his plans? What has he told us we ought to be doing? And it's very clear in verse 8 and in verse 10. We ought to behold the works of the Lord. We ought to be still and know that he is God. Now, the second point of application, and this is just something very practical, is that I would encourage each one of you, as you have time, perhaps in your devotions or another time, to read certain chapters in our Confession of Faith. Our Confession of Faith actually deals with these types of things. And let me just mention a couple chapters that are particularly helpful in this area. The first chapter is chapter 3. That's the chapter on divine decree. Chapter 5, from which we read earlier, is on providence, and that's a helpful chapter. Another chapter is chapter 17 on the perseverance of the saints, that nothing can stop Christ's saints from reaching heaven. And then the last two chapters, 31 and 32 of our confession, they deal with the intermediate state of man, and then the last chapter deals with Christ's second coming. So our confession of faith gives us certain doctrines that we can study and build our lives on. And so I would encourage you, if you have a copy of the confession, to read through those chapters, look up the scripture verses, and to sort of reset your minds on the truth of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 46. We thank you that it reminds us that we have a very present help in times of trouble. We thank you that God is our refuge and our strength. We thank you that God is in the midst of his people and that the church is built on him. We pray that you would comfort each one tonight, and we pray that each one of us would study the scriptures to hear the voice of the Lord, which is more powerful than all of the powers on earth. And we pray that we would walk in peace and confidence in the Lord. In Christ's name, amen.